right, here we go. $1. $2. $3. Man, it's gonna take all day. $4. $5. $6. Is this really what you guys want me to do? Okay. $7. $3. $74. $75. Right, let me try this one. $80. $85. $175. $180. $200. Got an idea. We've been here like all day. I mean, we're like to like 200,000 is all we've counted so far. This is ridiculous. I think I have an idea. This is gonna be way better.
And do our gig, and whenever God shows up, we'll know that's the one true God. So, you know, the prophets of Baal, they go first, and they do their little gig and song and dance, doing everything to try to get the gods to show up and bring fire to the altar, and it never happens. Never shows up, sipping not a nothing. So Elijah, he takes the altar, and he says, all right, God, if this is you, I want you to show up. And God says, whoa, before I do, I want you to go have people bring their personal water supply. I want you to go, you know, because they were in a drought at the time. He said, I want you to flood the altar with water before I show up, just to show that I'm the one true God. And so he sends his people back, and they bring their water. And he says, all right, God, we just flooded the altar. God says, no, 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 I want you to do it again. Three times they send the people of Israel back to get their own personal water supply to bring it to the altar, and they flood the altar. It is overflowing, very similar to what happened here last weekend. So we had a goal of $750,000 above and beyond what we normally give. That's what you guys raised last weekend. $862,502 freaking dollars. Oh my word. How about that? I mean, it's like flowing out of this place. I mean, you guys rocked it. That was absolutely amazing. And you guys are crazy. That's crazy. How about that? Not only are you crazy, you're godly. And this is so cool because when the rest of the world is beating to, you know, the drum of, oh, be very, very scared, very, very afraid, you know, financial in a bad, bad place, the world's heading to hell in a handbasket, we're saying, no. We believe God is going to take care of us. And when we honor God with our finances, God continues to show up. I mean, it's so cool. You know what this means? This means that we get to, you know, do everything that is a part of the Game Change initiatives. We get to optimize what we're doing here. We're going to continue to build staffing infrastructure that allows us to broaden our reach in our community. Some of the improvements in children's and commons throughout our building. Ultimately, we're going to be planning over these next 3 years toward taking CrossPoint to new communities. And all of this is actually leading to more and more spiritual freedom for people right around us, friends, neighbors, the people right here in our communities. And so this is so, so cool. Way to go. You guys were absolutely awesome. This is awesome. And honestly, you know what I want to do right now? I don't want to talk right now about the future, about what's next for CrossPoint. I think right now we just need to kind of talk about what we've experienced and live in that for a moment, because what we have experienced over these last few weeks is the character and identity of God. That's really what this has been about. And God says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says, everything you have, all your wealth, all of your abilities, he says, they actually comes from me. And we put that on the table over these last few weeks. And now I want us to put our adoration of God on the table. I was thinking about this over the past week, this whole idea of campaigns and raising additional resources. I mean, you know, churches do this all the time. In fact, David in the Old Testament does the very first capital campaign. You know, they're out traveling from one place to the next, and every time they worship, they have to put a makeshift tent up. And at some point, David says, you know, it'd be really good to have, you know, a permanent temple for us to gather in. And so he says, God, I think it's time to build a permanent temple. God says, man, that's awesome. We need to go for it. But here's the thing, David. You're not going to build it, but you're going to help finance it. And so, you know, David goes out and he rallies a bunch of people, leaders, lead people who are willing to see the future and actually go that way. And he gets people standing alongside him, people raising their hands saying, hey, count me in. I want to be a game changer. I want to go to that next new place. And we want to be about what God is about, because wherever God is going is always the best place to be. And so David actually has some words for the nation of Israel at that point. I want to share these words with you because I believe these are the words God would say to us right here today. This is 1 Chronicles 29. It says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all of the assembly. See, we're blessing the Lord right now. We're not celebrating what's going to happen or what's going to come. We're just saying, God, we want to bless you right now. We want to encourage you. We want to recognize that everything that we have has actually come from your hand. You're the giver of all resources. God, you're the solid one. You're the faithful one. God, your character is the one that does not change. David blessed the Lord in the presence of all of the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. O Lord, and you are exalted above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And so we're going to just pause right in the midst of this day of celebration and worship, and we're going to thank God, and we're going to, part of what we're going to do during this time is sharing this thing that people who have been running after the heart of God have been sharing in for thousands of years, this meal known as the Eucharist, the Mass, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. And, you know, this is Passover week. This is a week when Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. And last week we talked about how Jesus bled for us. And we had to ask the question, have we ever bled for someone? Have we ever literally laid down and bled sacrificially, financially? Jesus did way more than write a check. Jesus actually bled. He actually gave his life source. He became low. He took downward mobility so you and I could be spiritually rich. And so in these next moments, we're going to just celebrate that. And remember, Jesus said it, when he was with his team for one of the last times before he took the low position on the cross, he said, every time you do this, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I've done for you. So let me pray for us for that end. God, thank you for all that you've been doing here over the last 6 weeks. God, we recognize it's been you at work. This is not a fluke, what we've experienced so far this morning. We recognize that it's your name, it's your identity, it's your character that we've been experiencing, God. We realize that it's your generosity that motivates us. God, you're the Holy One, you're the great I Am. God, you are the one who sets the pace of scandalous love that the world, in many cases, has yet to come to fully understand. God, we want to imitate that. We want to walk in those steps. God, we stand right now. In fact, I want us to go ahead and stand. Let's just stand to our feet right where we're sitting. Let's stand. God, we stand right now because we don't want to be sitting. We want to stand before you and just recognize and reverence, God, that, man, you are a God who is faithful. You're the sacrificial one. God, we want to replicate that more and more in our lives. God, so we just celebrate right now through these next moments as we sing, as we worship, as we adore you, and as we share this meal together. Amen. And so as we sing over these next moments, we're just going to celebrate. We're going to thank God for who he is, for the ways he's been faithful here and beyond in our lives. And if you're somebody who is in relationship with Jesus, if you've received his grace, then we invite you to come to one of the four tables. There's one in each corner of the front and one in each corner in the back of the room as we sing over these next 8 or 10 minutes. And to share in the bread and the cup, the body and the blood of Jesus. And as he said, to remember what he's done for us, to celebrate that he took on downward mobility. He became poor so you and I could become rich. And we just want to replicate that. We want to celebrate that today. And if you're somebody who is not in relationship with Jesus, we're just excited you're here. We're going to ask that you have the integrity to just, observe what takes place, because this doesn't really represent your life right now. But there's going to be a lot of movement, and you can just kind of take in the people of God, one of the ways it looks like when we run after him. So I invite you to the table as we sing and to share in the bread and the cup. PJ, let's sing together. Awesome. Hey, you can go ahead and grab a seat. Man, I don't know that my voice can keep up with this. I have just been like screaming up here in the front row. And then I realize the band hears every word I say. And then I don't scream so much. But man, it's an exciting morning. It's great to have you here with us. If you're a guest today, man, you've come on a day where you're seeing kind of what this community has been about over the last 6 weeks. And we're excited you're here. And I tell you what, I've been in celebration mode all week. It even got better last night when Indiana beat Kentucky, by the way. Yeah. I mean, it just keeps coming, man. All the things to celebrate, but there's things way deeper than that. And, there's a celebration that comes when we're in the will of God. And there's a celebration of this idea of saying, God, I'm going your way, not just the easy way of the rest of the world. And there's a joyfulness and a cheerfulness that comes when we find ourselves in that place. And some of us have never celebrated this way. You're celebrating that for the first time this week. You're feeling it. You don't know exactly how to put it into words. And, because maybe all you've known is celebration on like a government holiday, right? Where, you play cornhole, have a few beers, something like that. I mean, that's a fun celebration. I always enjoy those. But there's something way deeper than that that God has invited us into and that many of us are feeling right now. And I kind of want to articulate that for us today. Some of the reasons I've been cheerful all week, I know many of you, as I've been interacting with you, have been like, man, we're excited as we brought what God called us to do. And even though we parted with some cash, there's a giddiness that comes with that. And so I want to kind of articulate why you might be feeling cheerfulness as well and why we need to continue feeling that way. Now, first of all, there are four volunteers that were just rock stars through the last really couple months. Let me mention them real quick. Brian Austin, Julie Butchton-Kirk, Brenda Palmer, and Jen Wired. They were early adopters in the Game Change Initiative. They were part of an infrastructure team that helped pull off vision briefings and call teams that helped communicate with people, make sure they knew when we were having meetings, important meetings on communicating the vision for this initiative. A prayer team, all the things that happened over the last number of months. And, these are faithful people that made this happen, volunteers. So many times people think, pixie dust just falls upon, that's Disney World. We're not Disney World, all right? No, these are faithful people, following through and making these things happen. So let's thank them this morning. They have just been rock stars. Awesome, awesome job. And, you know, they're cheerful, I'm cheerful. Let me tell you why you should be cheerful or maybe are cheerful this morning and kind of capture why some of us, many of us are feeling this way. And I want to share some of these things as an encouragement to you, but also to kind of help define why we're feeling some of the things we're feeling. First of all, you're probably cheerful because you are forming a new generation. You're forming a new generation with what happened last weekend. Many of us, hundreds of us, bringing commitments above and beyond our normal giving. This isn't like our normal giving. This is sacrificially above and beyond what we normally do. You're saying, hey, God, I'm going to beat to a different drum. I'm not just going to follow all the news media outlets that say, oh, be very scared, afraid, the world's going downhill. No, there's good things happening in our world, and we actually get to generate more. And we said, hey, we want to be a part of that, God. We want to be a part of forming this brand new generation. And I've been personally encouraged by what's been happening with my kids as they've been in our kids' environments. Our kids' environments have been going through this process as well. And many of you as families have been talking about this with your children. Our CSM students have been doing the same. Their commitment night is tomorrow night. So that number will be growing as our students are wrestling through, okay, what do I have and what do I want to invest in to help my friends continue to experience spiritual freedom? And so you know, PJ was talking last weekend and today with our platform team before services about how this has impacted his family and his 7 and 4-year-old and just how they're grasping onto these concepts of God owns everything and we're just stewards of it. I mean, this is phenomenal when this takes place. In fact, we captured a really cool photo last weekend after service of this little guy, Lucas, and his dad said, hey, he just wanted to bring his own commitment. He wanted to bring it. Yeah, that's cool when we see stuff like that. Probably one of the most moving things that happened through this entire journey for me happened last Sunday afternoon. We were driving to Cincinnati after services to visit with some family, and my assistant was in the process of beginning to tally commitments and, you know, record envelopes and what came in, and I was about halfway to Cincinnati, and she texted me an image of a note that came in with commitment envelopes last weekend, and I tell you what, for the next 30 miles, I was just tearing up all the way down the highway. And it had to do with a family who's here, who you have come around over the last number of months, who 4 months ago, they lost their 17-year-old to cancer. And we celebrate his life right here. He got baptized the week before right there. And here's the note that Jenny put on her card. She said, this is from Alex Dunn. He was saving for a computer. Lord, I want you to have it back. Not my word. I mean, I didn't even have words for that. I'm just driving, just smiling and tears running down my face at the same time. And I texted her, you know, eventually I said, hey, Jenny, may my word bless you. This was, Alex is still touching lives just like he did when he was physically with us. And she texted back and said, Kurt, you have no idea the way this tribe impacted his life. See, we're forming a brand new generation. That's what you're doing. You're setting in motion a group of kids and students, and even as adults, a generation that's going to, I mean, think about what's going to happen when our kids are our age, and they've already built in some of these principles into their lives. Man, world changers, world changers. Second thing we should be cheerful about is God left things on the table. How about that? You know, we talked over the last few weeks about how everything, you know, that we have really has come from God, and we were emptying our pockets and saying, God, I'm putting everything on the table, my house, my car keys, my bank statements, my retirement accounts, my family. I had a picture of my family up here at one point saying, hey, even my family, I don't own them. I mean, they're God's. He's just given them to me to enjoy and coach along and steward and encourage for a very short time. And we put this on the table. Then we went through a process of saying, God, is there anything that you want back? We went through a listening process. We said, God, is there anything that you want to redirect in another way, something you've given me that for the next season you want to direct into additional kingdom initiatives? And guess what? God left, for many of us, all of us, a lot of stuff we put on the table, still on the table. There are things I put on the table, Julie and I put on the table, we processed through. I thought, man, God is going to take this out of our lives. I think he's going to strip us bare. We're going to be living in a van down by the river. That's what we're going to be doing. Guess what? We're not. We aren't. We're still living in our house. Most of you are, from the looks of you, you look pretty good this morning. You must not be living by the river either. I mean, it's like God left so much on the table. So, you know, he works through sacrifices. He, as many of us, you know, bled, we sacrificed last week. You know what's amazing about God? God also works in extravagance. All right, God, I think God's so cheerful right now because he's like, man, everything I left on your table, I want you to keep that. I want you to keep enjoying that right now. You know why? Because God looks down and I think he just finds great joy seeing his children find pleasure. I think he really does. I think he's like, oh, just keep that for now. Keep it. I love that about God. Love that. Another thing, which I can't really tell you about this one until I give you a little bit of a story from the Bible. You know, this comes from Jesus, and normally what people would do when they encounter something that Jesus says that they don't like is one of three things. The first thing is we'll just look at it and be like, oh, well, the Bible's not really all true. I mean, that Jesus probably didn't mean that literally. It's figurative. I don't necessarily have to follow that. It's one way we kind of get around difficult things. You know, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, you know, the interpretation on this is really different than what it says there, so we reinterpret it to make it not as pointed or as direct, or we hear it and we get challenged by it and we actually try to follow it. You know, one of three things usually happens. And so Jesus, he's saying something, and many people are dismissing it. Some people are just like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Other people are like, well, he doesn't really mean that. Here's what Jesus says one time in Matthew 19. By the way, this is in the Crosspoint app. If you hit the Bible button, take you right to this passage. You can read along there if you want, or on the screens. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Like, who's going to make it then? I mean, my word, Jesus, geez. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So Jesus basically says, hey, when you're rich, it's very unlikely that you're ever going to see the kingdom of God. Now, he's not talking about the kingdom of heaven right here. Two different things. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, two different things. Kingdom of God is this reality that's right now that God is inviting us into. When we made commitments last weekend, we just got enlisted in this kingdom initiative of God bringing restoration to the world right now as we know it. Right? In fact, one time Jesus is on a cross and he's dying, the only time he's on a cross, and he's got a thief on either side of him. And he turns and looks at him. One of them says to him, hey, Jesus, will you remember me later on? Will you remember me? Will you forgive me? And Jesus says to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, today, you'll be with me in the kingdom. He says, today, you'll be with me in paradise in heaven. See, the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't saying that rich people can't go to heaven. What he's saying here is rich people are likely very, 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 very difficult for anybody that's rich to actually see and engage in the kingdom of God because it's a subversive movement that our stuff, all of our possessions and wealth, the things we trust in, often gets in the way of us experiencing the kingdom of God. And so Jesus in the story, some people kind of take the sting off the story a little bit. They say, well, you know what Jesus was talking about, going through the eye of a needle, it's kind of like Jerusalem, like if there was a wall around Jerusalem, and maybe in this wall there was a real itty-litty little bitty gate that people could go in and out of. And what he's really saying is it's kind of like the difficulty of somebody on their camel having to get off their camel, you know, the difficulty of getting down, getting their camel to actually kneel down and squeeze through underneath this gate to get out of the city. I mean, that's what it means when he says, you know, it's like it'd be harder to go through the eye of a needle. It's just really, really difficult. But see, here's the thing. The people who heard this when Jesus was saying this, they didn't take it that way. Because look at what his disciples say. If we can put that back up. His disciples say, gee, Jesus, my word, who's going to get in? Who can get in if that's the case? And Jesus is like, man, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He's literally saying the likeliness of experiencing the kingdom of God for a rich person is impossible. So you might as well just go ahead and try to squeeze through the eye and needle and see if you can do that. Telling you what, I don't know about you, but I've come to the realization over the last few weeks that I am rich. I am so rich. I don't know about you, but I am so rich. You know how rich I am? Here's one of the things I discovered over the last week. I'm so rich that in our home, You know, when most people in the world don't even have a bed or a mattress to sleep on, guess what? In our house, every single person has a mattress to sleep on, except my wife and I. We share one. That's very strategic, by the way. It's planned that way. We all have a mattress. You know, most people in the world have a very itty-bitty little house. My kids, you know what? They all have their own room. That's how rich we are. Except for two of them. They share a room. But guess what? Their room is so big. It's bigger than most people's houses that they're putting 10 or 12 people in. That's how rich I am. We're so rich that in my house, we have holes in our walls. And at strategic times, hot air just blows right in. It's crazy. And then when it gets hot outside, cold air blows in through these holes. That's how rich I am. The temperature is always great. In my house, I've never had to like walk to a community well or go down to the river to get water. I've never had to go fish water out of a river. You know what I do in my house? I have multiple places in my house where I just walk up and I go, turn it off. It's amazing, man. The water just shows up right there in my house. That's how rich I am. I'm so rich that I get in this thing that I have, this contraption, and I sit in it if I want to go someplace, and I just do this. Then I like relax, and I go wherever I want to go, and I don't have to like move my legs, and I'm not sweating when I get there because I had to work so hard. I have multiples of these, by the way. That's how rich I am. And in fact, I'll even drive this thing over to a place where they have a whole bunch of workers in green aprons, and I'll pay like $4.50 for, you know, a cup of coffee that they make for me that I otherwise could make for myself. That's how rich I am. I am so rich. So when I look at this passage, he says it's harder for a rich man. I don't go, oh, man, I'm not a rich man. I realize? It's hard for me to see the kingdom of God. That's what I realize. Number three, third reason you should be excited, you should be cheerful, is because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. God, if you've engaged in this, God has helped you squeeze through the eye of the needle. He's helped you get enlisted in the kingdom of God. This is something to be cheerful about. This is not a normal thing. All right, this is not a normal reality. Many people, he says, will never see the fullness of the kingdom right here on this earth. And there's still other people on the other side of the needle who say, hey, I'm connected to you, God, but I'm not enlisted in kingdom initiatives. My heart hasn't really softened yet toward the things that your heart is soft toward. My eyes have not really moistened at all toward the things, the poverty of our world and the brokenness of our world. All right, my view of you, God, has not really changed or expanded to have a heart for people who have yet to come into a redemptive relationship with you. And God says, when you engage in these kingdom initiatives I'm doing, it's like you're going through the eye of the needle. You're going through the eye. There's a cheerfulness that comes from that. Another reason you should be cheerful, this actually comes from the book of John, chapter 14. Jesus says this. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Jesus does what every good parent wants right here. See, every good parent wants their kids to exceed them. Right? I mean, Jesus says, hey, you're actually going to go beyond the things that I'm doing. He's like, hey, I'm kind of limited by space and time right here. I've left the Godhead and I've come down and taken on flesh in the world. And yeah, I'm doing some things, but you know, there's going to come a day where I'm going to return to the Godhead and we're going to send a different person from the Godhead down to indwell you. We're going to send the Holy Spirit to come and live in you. It's going to make you a better version of yourself. And not only are you going to be a better version of yourself, you're actually going to do things that go beyond the things I've actually done. I mean, this is crazy. You know, most of us have probably heard of the Great Commission where Jesus, right before he leaves earth, says, hey, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. We've heard that. Most of us probably know the Great Commandment where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All right, basically Jesus sums everything up. He's like, everything else in the Bible is just commentary. All right, we know that one. Very few people actually speak about or know about the greater works mandate. This is what Jesus is talking about right here. The greater works mandate is where Jesus says, you're going to exceed me. Greater works are you going to do than what I've done. So the fourth reason, God, we should be cheerful this morning, is God has greater works in store. I mean, God has greater works, things we're going to be engaging in. Because when you engage in this, we're cheerful because God has destined us. He's set us on a path to experiencing and bringing the kingdom. I mean, get this. Jesus never had the opportunity to rescue multiple prostitutes in one evening who are living on the street and bring them to a place of freedom and safety and redemption. And yet you're a part of that right now through the pink door. In fact, the Pink Door over in Germany, one of our ministry partnerships, is opening up a whole new wing so they can continue to bring more and more girls to a place of redemption. Jesus did like one here and one there. You're doing multiple ones at one time. Jesus said, I never had the chance to do that. Greater things will you do. You know, Jesus was never had the opportunity to do ministry on multiple continents. I mean, he was in one continent. Right now, you're doing ministry in India. You're doing ministry in the Middle East, in Europe. We're doing ministry in North America right here. We're talking about a partnership in Central America. I mean, we're doing ministry in multiple places. Jesus never had the opportunity to do that. Right now, we're in a metro area that Jesus never really had the opportunity to be in a place this large that's actually seen redemption come to the community, that's seen poverty rates go down, that's seen marriage rates and healthy sexuality go up, that's seen the arts flourish. I mean, we're in a place where there are beginning to be seeds of transformation all around us. I've been on a commission with the mayor of Fishers for the last 8 or 10 months, along with about 20 other city leaders from the schools and from key businesses, fire, police chiefs. I mean, it's been a really cool experience, but the bummer part of it is we've been looking at this epidemic of mental health issues in our community and how suicide rates over the last number of years have been on the up and up. And it's because we live in this veneer culture that on the outside we got to look like everything's fine, I'm fine, everything's good, but underneath we're dying. We're dying, and we feel like I could never reach out because everybody seems to have it all together. So there's no way I could actually reach out to get help because I'd look like, man, I'm there's something wrong with me. And our city's been tackling this problem by bringing key community leaders together. Over the last 2 months, I've been meeting with, not at my initiative, but the city's initiative, believe it or not. One of our city leaders calling about 30 pastors together to say, now we want to get everybody in light groups and begin to talk about the resources we're providing. And we're bringing lists of ways that at Crosspoint, we help people that are dealing with mental health issues, people dealing with stress issues that lead to mental health issues, things like, you know, Financial Peace University, things like marriage renewal programs, things like, you know, Reclaimed Counseling, who meets right here on Crosspoint site that helps bring health and restoration to people. And the coolest part of this is our leaders in our city are saying to us as church leaders, we need you. You're actually doing a transformational work, and we need you to keep doing it. How cool is that? Jesus never had leaders asking him to do that. So you're going beyond. You're going beyond. He says, greater works. I think this is a mandate to us. God has set us up to do greater works than he. And I am so excited. I'm part of a tribe, a team here. It's like, yeah, that's just what we do. Man, we're here to bring health and healing to those who are broken and shattered. That's what we do. I'm cheerful about that. It's exciting. Fifth reason you should be cheerful is because you should be looking forward to your rewards. All right, how many of you have been experiencing rewards over the last week? I know I've been experiencing rewards. I know, man, you know, last week, one of the greatest rewards was when you made a commitment last weekend, you actually began to identify with Jesus in an increased way like some of us have never experienced before because you're walking in the footsteps sacrificially that Jesus walked in all the time. And when you do that, you begin to experience more and more of God's character in your lives. You're having thoughts about things that you want to do or start or create like you've never had before. Anybody else experience that this week? I know I have been. I've been texting with guys, emailing with some different groups of people about what God's stirring in them to continue to bring redemption to our community. You know why? Because this is one of the rewards of walking in the steps sacrificially with Jesus. And for sure, there's going to be rewards in the next life, in the future. In fact, we looked a couple weeks ago at how Jesus said, hey, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Not just on earth, we see those, but things you will not see or know until the next life. He says, store them up. Store them up. I get really excited about this. I'm cheerful about this. You know why? Because last time I checked, the death rate's still 100%. We're all going to succumb to it one point or another, right? I don't know when it's going to happen for me, but I'm excited about it, right? I mean, it could be tomorrow or in a week or a year or 50 years. I don't know. But what I know is there are going to be rewards. God says, based on your faithfulness here, there are going to be rewards stored up for you in the next life. Man, that's exciting. That's exciting. You guys excited about that? You guys alive out there? Yeah, all right. Last one. There's tons of these I could go on and on about, but you got to get out of here. So last one. And this is what's so cool to me right here. I'm cheerful about this. You should be too, that you get to start a brand new church. How about that? You get to start a brand new church. See, very few people get to actually start a brand new church. We start a brand new church right now. Right now, right here, Cross Point is a brand new church. All right, we're, you know, God, it's like God's taking us. He's like, hey, there are new places that I want to take you. And you responded last weekend in a way that said, God, we want to start a new trajectory. And you're changing the game. See, when Julie and I felt the call of God in our lives to start Cross Point, you know, it was pretty risky for us at the time. We had 2.5 kids at the time, you know, the number of the average American. We had 2 kids and 1 on the way. And I had a decent job. I was making a good paycheck at a church that was pretty secure. And 2 partners came to us and said, hey, we want to help start a new church here in Fishers, and we believe you're the leader to do it. And we'll pay your salary for 1 year. We'll commit to the church for 3 years, but you got to get it off the ground. Doesn't get off the ground, then we'll cover you at least for 1 year, and then you're cut off and you're on your own. And by the way, we don't have any people committed to this. It's just you and your wife. Oh, that sounds great. That sounds like a great opportunity, right? But they said, we will help you, we'll give you an environment to raise up some launch team members, which we did. And then you got to figure the rest out on your own. And so Julie and I looked at each other like, man, why would we do that? Okay, we're in. And we just took the plunge. We just did it. We said, we're in. Let's do it. And part of that was because God had been kind of piercing our hearts for our friends, because we found increasingly that more and more of our friends had totally checked out on church. They were interested in Jesus. They just weren't interested in the church and what had become. And we had a burden for them. We had a burden for our friends that were far from God, that they would come to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And they'd see that part of the benefit of the church is having meaningful relationships and community with others. And we said, yeah, we're in for that. We'll begin to develop that. You realize that was almost 10 years ago. This month, end of this month, is when I resigned my job. And we began the infrastructure for what has become Cross Point. And over the past 10 years, from time to time, I'll have thoughts where I'm just like, man, if that group came to me right now, today, would I do it again? But I started a new church based on the team we have right now. And I've never really said this publicly. You may not have even known this was going on, but God and I have had a number of personal moments where it's just been personal time with God, and I've said, okay, right now, all right, in this season, you realize Cross Point's probably restarted like 7 times over 10 years, 9 years. Now, you've not known about it. We kept the name, vision, values all stay the same, but moments where I came to, okay, God, I sense you're wanting us to go to a new place. And so even over these last few weeks, okay, God, you want us to restart something brand new? If this is a game changer, that means, you know, things have to head in a whole different, you know, direction. You know, but now we have hundreds of partners committed to this. Now you want us to start a church here, but we've got a building. We're not moving stuff in and out. We got a building right on one of the major thoroughfares on the north side of Indianapolis. You want us to do that? You want us to start a church with a bunch of people who have just expressed that their hearts are to see their friends and neighbors and people in the 3 and 5 and 7 and 10 mile radius of us to come to experience spiritual freedom. We want to help fund that. You want us to take this group of people and start a brand new church? Oh man, we're in. We're in today. Today, we start a brand new church. You're on the ground floor of the next season of Cross Point. That's what God's wanting to do. That's what we get to sense. God's wanting to go to a new place. Now, you know, it's not like vision and values and everything are going to change. There's many things that are going to stay the same. In fact, let me talk about a few things that are going to stay the same. You know, one of the things that's going to stay the same is there have been 3 financial principles that we've lived by since day one. These things are going to continue to be the same. And I want to kind of explain them to you this morning before we wrap up, because these aren't going to change, but we believe this is why God continues to move here. Number one, first financial principle is we bless people. That's just what we do. We bless people. All right, we want to bring blessing. That's why we provide free coffee, free Wi-Fi, not only on weekends, but throughout the week, Monday through Friday, you can come in and use free Wi-Fi, have free coffee. That's why we do things like Spread Some Cheer Initiative and, you know, school uniform drives and things like, you know, the Bucket Project and things like, you know, Beans and Rice Week. Can't wait for Beans and Rice Week later this year. Fart Week, one of my favorite weeks of the year. All right, well, we just build into people in poverty. You know, it's why, what happens every week when you come in here, you don't have to pay to drop your kids off. Right? You don't have to, when we go through journeys, you know, when you get all kinds of cool personal guides, you know, like the Brave Journey, and you get curriculum on an app, you don't have to pay for that because we want to be a blessing. Sending kids to camp, we'll pay $50 toward registration because we believe that the transformation that happens there is outrageous, and we want to just bless you with that. I mean, we'll always be a blessing. We'll die on that hill because that's how we operate. Always have, always will. Second thing, we budget according to vision, not expectation. If we budgeted based on expectation, we wouldn't have even done Game Change, all right? I had kind of a bummer conversation with a pastor friend of mine a number of months ago, and I was starting to talk about this campaign, and we're going to go do a vision campaign, and we're not going to be building anything out of the ground. No steel's going to be, you know, going up out of the ground or anything. And he looked at me and said, "Man, you are crazy. You're going to do that in this climate, economic climate? Kurt, man, you guys got momentum. You're going to lose momentum." And I walked out of that, I thought, yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't expect anybody to sacrificially give any more than they already are. I mean, that's just the way of the world, right? Well, I'll tell you what. Another one of my friends recently, he asked me, he said, "Kurt, how's the campaign going?" Just about 3 days ago. I said, "Man, can you believe we've had more people in services over the last 6 weeks during a finance campaign than we have for the whole last year, other than holidays and like special weekends?" He's like, "Really? Really?" He didn't believe me. He thought I was lying through my teeth to him. We're on a video call. I'm like, "Dude, it's been crazy. You know why? Because we've not been raising money. We've been raising disciples. This has really been a vision campaign about what God wants to do through this place to continue to bring spiritual freedom all around us. It's like God has been enlisting the army to take this place to the next new place. We've been raising disciples. We've been raising money. Money's just a byproduct of our hearts, the temperature of our hearts raising up. I mean, look at what you raised, $862,000. Oh, my word, that's over and above what you're already bringing. That is phenomenal. That is incredible. See, it doesn't matter how big Crosspoint gets, we'll always budget based on vision, not expectation. Final thing, final principle. We spend money around here. We spend money. Our bankers hate to hear that. Our finance guys, "Oh, they spend money." We do. We spend money. You know, we don't see this money that's coming in as a way to, "Oh, man, let's shore up Crosspoint's bottom line." No. We're not doing that at all. All right. I told you a few weeks ago how in our family, we liquidated some of our savings, a good chunk of our savings. Listen, I was so excited when I was on the app, you know, hitting the send button to make that go out of my account. I was like, "Oh my word, I'm doing it. It's so awesome. I'm engaging." There's a relief that came with that. There was a weird joyfulness that came as I released that. You know, I wasn't excited because I'm like, "Man, Crosspoint's bottom line is looking much better now." No, you know why I'm excited? I know Crosspoint spends money. You know what we spend money on? We are spending money on helping people that are disconnected from God come into a spiritual relationship and get redeemed through His grace. That's why we get excited. I could care less about firming up Crosspoint's bottom line. It's that we spend to create life change. That's exciting to me. And I tell you what, that's why this is a game changer. The next 3 years, man, it's going to be a roller coaster ride like I talked about last week. Man, we're going to be like, "Whoa, my word." There's going to be excitement, fun. There's going to be moments where we're like, "Oh, my word, I can't believe we're doing this next." It's going to be exciting. And guess what? You and I are going to get a front row seat to watch God work in us and to watch God work through us as He continues to bring redemption and spiritual freedom to people all around us. I don't know about you, but to me, that's exciting. You guys excited about that? Yeah, and that is exciting. So we're going to do a song as we wrap up here this morning. And this song kind of captures what I believe, you know, is kind of the heart of where we are right now. And before we do that, the band's going to come out. And I want to run through a couple logistics for you, all right? So if you normally give to Crosspoint, you tithe, you know, your normal giving, you don't ever have to designate that if you write a check. It just automatically goes into the general fund. And we encourage you to keep doing that. I mean, Game Change above and beyond that. You know, normal general giving goes to infrastructure. It goes to things like coffee and kids ministry programming, CSM, benevolence, helping people in the community, you know, all of these things, making sure it's nice and warm or cool in here based on the season. And if you're doing that online, you need to choose the designation general fund for your normal giving. And then if you're doing a Game Change campaign commitment and you're going to start fulfilling that, then if you're doing that online or in a check, you need to designate it Game Change. Just write Game Change and then what amount is going to Game Change. If you do it online, you can even split it. Right at the bottom there's a split button. You can put your total amount in, and then you can actually say this much to Game Change, this much to General Fund. It's my normal giving. All right, and so you know, Game Change Giving begins April 3rd. That's when we're launching the kind of methodical process of walking this out over the next 3 years. And see, here's the thing. I've been through a number of these, and here's my encouragement to you. We just came through the discernment process, right? That's what the last 6 weeks have been. Now we begin the fulfillment process. See, anything we committed, it's not honoring to God until we actually walk it out. That's when it begins to become worship to God. And so it's really important that we begin. I can't tell you enough. I've been through a number of campaigns, and the most important thing, the way to not get discouraged, is to just begin. To begin right away. 1st of April, best way to do that is to automate it. All right, over 55% of our giving now comes through automation, because the things that are important to us are things that we automate. So you can go to the Give button, and it will. You can set up automated giving weekly, monthly, every other week, however you control it. You can set this up, but I encourage you, in fact, it's one of our next steps today, is that you go in and just say, hey, I'm going to make the next step of automating my giving, because I want the commitment I've made to actually honor and bring glory and worship God. And the way we do that is we walk it out. Now, there may be others of us that are a little discouraged today because you're here and you're hearing all this and you're thinking, man, I wasn't here last weekend. I missed it, and maybe you haven't had a chance to participate yet. Listen, we would love for you to make us more potent. I mean, if God's putting someone on your heart and you're like, I want to join this thing, we're still going to have funds rolling in over the next few weeks. So you can take this envelope. You can say my gift today, my commitment over the next 3 years, total it. And you can bring this commitment today, and we'll include it in the total, and you can drop it in the joy box, or you can bring it up here and lay it on the soppy wet stage if you want to be really bold. That's what we did last weekend. We brought these up front, but you can still engage if you would like to do that, and we would love for you to do that. So we're going to sing this song, and there's some other next steps that I encourage you to think through, you know, inviting somebody to Easter next week, volunteering for Easter, but I want us to go ahead and stand right now. And we're going to do this song. This is kind of a clarion song for us because the temperature has been rising. You know, we're not about thermometers on stage. We said this whole thing's about a thermostat gauging if our hearts are getting hotter and hotter for the things God's heart is hot after. And we pray about things, but we don't just pray. We don't just, you know, think about things. We do things. And God has set the standard of love for us, and we're running after that. We're saying, God, we're not sleeping. We're staying on it. So let's sing this, and PJ will lead us.